Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. And we're just going to read the translation for text number 15, because there's no purport. The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. Text 16. Varta vichitra shalina. Yavara sulochanam. Vipra vritis chatur deyam. Shreyasi chotarodhatara. Varta. The occupational means of livelihood. For the Vaishya. Agriculture, cow protection, and trade. Vichitra, various types. Shalina, livelihood achieved without effort. Yavara, going to the field to beg for some paddy. Shila, picking up the grains left in the field by the proprietor. Unchanam, pick up the grains that have fallen from bags and shops without punching holes in the bag. Oh, that's not there. Vipra, vitri, viti, the means of livelihood for the brahmanas. Chaturda, four different kinds. Iyam, this. Shreyasi, better. Sha, also. Uttara, uttara, the latter compared to the former. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As an alternative, a brahmana may also take to the Vaishya occupation of agriculture, cow protection, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in the field by its proprietor, or he may collect food grains left there, here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are the four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by the brahmanas. Among the four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Does anyone want to become a Brahmin? Could anyone make their livelihood by picking up the grains left in the fields? What about going to the shops of the grain dealers, see if there's anything left? Probably get shot. Stealing from the grain dealers. Purport. A Brahmin is sometimes offered land and cows in charity. I've never been offered any land or cows. Has anyone here have been offered a land or a cow? And thus for his livelihood he may act in the same way as a Vaishya, by cultivating land, giving protection to cows, and trading off his surpluses. A better process, however, is to pick up grains from a field or from a dealer's shop without begging. So we find in Krishna's pastimes that often Krishna would give away cows and charity to the Brahmins. As a matter of fact, he would give away 13,082 or 83, I can't remember, cows every day from each one of his palaces. And he had 16,108 palaces. And he would weigh sometimes, I don't think every day he gave it away, but sometimes he gave away 13,000 cows to the Brahmins. So obviously there was either a lot of Brahmins, or each Brahmin had a lot of cows. In any case, what are you going to do with all those cows? Because they were all they all had one newly born calf, and therefore there was a lot of milk to get. So I guess the Brahmins in Krishna's kingdom had a lot of milk. And that, therefore, there's no shortage of sweet rice. So, if anything, for any reason you want to go to the kingdom of God, at least you'll get enough milk products. You join Krishna's Leela. In his pastimes in some universe, don't go as a vegan. You won't be appreciated. Preaching veganism in Krishna's kingdom is not appreciated. But we know that they took good care of the cows. All the cows were devotees also of Krishna. So the next verse. Except in times of emergency, lower persons should not accept the occupational duties of those who are higher. When there is such an emergency, of course, everyone but the Kshatriya may accept the means of livelihood of others. Purport. The occupational duty of a brahmana should not be accepted by persons in lower social orders, especially vaishyas and shudras. For example, an occupational duty of the brahmana is to teach Vedic knowledge. But unless there is an emergency, this professional duty should not be accepted by the kshatriyas, vaishyas, or shudras. Even a kshatriya cannot accept the duties of a brahmana unless there is an emergency. And then even if he does so, he should not accept charity from anyone else. Sometimes brahmanas protest against our Krishna consciousness movement, creating brahmanas from Europeans, or in other words, from lechas and yavanas. This movement, however, is here supported in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the present moment, society is in a chaotic condition, and everyone has given up the cultivation of spiritual life, which is especially meant for the brahmanas. Because spiritual culture has been stopped all over the world, there is now an emergency, and therefore it is now time to train those who are considered lower and condemned so that they may become brahmanas and take up the work of spiritual progress. The spiritual progress of human society has been stopped, and this should be considered an emergency. Here is the solid support from Narada Muni of the movement known as Krishna Consciousness. In other words, if we are Shudras would be quite a good qualification. We have the lower classification. Shudra means that at least you're submissive to the higher classes. In our present society, we don't except anyone's higher than me. So there's no question of being submissive to anyone. Therefore, everyone is more or less a yavana or a malecha. What's the difference between a malecha and a yavana? Yavanas, I believe, are cow killers. Malechas are just unclean. In any case, none of them are very high. Neither the yavana or the malecha is very high class, and therefore they're usually considered within the realm of varna sankara. And for a malecha or yavana, even when there is an emergency, it's very difficult to take up the actual role of a brahmana. When the DBC was making elaborate plans in 1972, in order to financially make our movement centralized. In other words, the leaders at that time saw that everyone was, in the colloquial words, was spaced out. And therefore they were not taking care of their finances properly. So they decided if we centralize everything, then we can get uniformity, we can get professionalism in our society. And so they had a meeting, they didn't consult with Prabhupada, elected another GBC without consulting Prabhupada, and they decided to centralize everything. So when Srila Prabhupada heard about that, His reaction was that this meeting was illegal, and above that, it shouldn't have taken place. It was, and what the topic was completely wrong. So Prabhupada sent a letter to all the GBCs, all the temple presidents. I also got my letter. And it said, I'm disbanding the GBC, don't listen to the GBC. As if anyone was listening to the GBC anyhow. And Prabhupada said this centralization is very bad. Calling these meetings without authorization is very bad. He said, I don't want anything to be centralized because I want the devotees to take responsibility, to be trained up in being responsible. And he also mentioned, he said, you're having these big, big meetings about centralization, but the important topics are being missed, he wrote in one letter. I see that the devotees, before they take prasadam, they don't wash their hands. These are the type of things you can discuss in the GBC meeting. These are things that are important. Of course, we look at our hands, and if they look clean, we think, well, couldn't be too bad. And then after we take prasadam, we save a little remnants on our hand in case we get hungry later. Don't want to wash prasadam off. But this is what Prabhupada considered to be important, to actually develop the qualities of a cleanliness. Brahman has two main qualities, namely cleanliness and, what's the second quality? Truthfulness, yes. That these are the qualities that Prabhupada expected us to develop. The idea of officially becoming a Brahman is not so important. First of all, in modern society, if you, someone asks you, what do you do? And you would tell them, I'm a Brahmin. They say, really? I'm sorry. sorry to ask you, that's too bad. What does a Brahmin do? Oh, I just study the Vedas. Really? You study the what? Which university do you go to? They have a course in what? Veda. What branch of anthropology is that? So people won't appreciate, they don't... A Brahmin was a Brahmin, so then you show them the sacred, see, I'm a Brahmin, I have a sacred thread, really? Hope you don't hang yourself with that thing. Looks pretty dangerous. Some people won't appreciate the fact that we're a Brahmin. If we're truthful, they may not, most people may not appreciate it either. Or even clean. But some people may, but we're not looking to convince everyone in this universe that we're good. We're just trying to convince some people that Krishna consciousness is good and that they should take it up. We don't expect everyone to become a devotee of Krishna because that's not possible. Of course, Prabhupada expected that in the course of time when society would break down, as we can see, it's always breaking down. We never really see any real progress in society. We don't see any campaigns in society. Everyone now should wash their hands before they eat. As I mentioned before, in England, they went all around England and they took samples from all the public places and they discovered in every single place in England, it's covered with stool. In other words, people pass stool and then they go about their daily business and they're touching everything everywhere and contaminating everything. And people just wonder why people get sick. It's not because people are unclean or unregulated or in anxiety. No, it's because of some virus that was released from some place in China. Undoubtedly, there are bacteria and things like that that will cause people to become sick. But especially if they're unclean, irregulated in their habits, then their immune system will become very weak. And they'll be susceptible to any kind of disease. Chandramali Maharaj was mentioning to me yesterday, now they have a statistic that in England not 900 people are dying every day, as if before there was, people didn't die. This is just a recent thing. England has what, 50 million or 60 million people in it or more. And it's surprising that anyone dies there. And they find out that actually, when people get 90 years old, 100 years old, sometimes they die, which is amazing. It only started to happen last year. So the point is that people should be, there should be some Brahmins at least who show the world what the standard of cleanliness and truthfulness is, so that people can actually make some progress in life, to regulate their lives, and to become clean, clean internally and externally, so they can think about actually what's good and what's not good. Nowadays people are running after technology, and they don't care about what they eat. They don't care about how they sleep. They don't care about their relationships with others. They don't care about whether they feel secure or their anxiety. All they care about is technology. Even people who sit around at the table and they're eating and they don't even look at each other. They text each other even when they're sitting for a meal. So what kind of relationship is with it? Someone's, they don't even cry anymore. They have an emoji that cries. They have an emoji that smiles. They're always morose, but the emoji smiles. Therefore, they think, well, I'm happy. They don't have friends anymore. They have friends on Facebook. Their appreciation is likes. They click something that shows their deep feelings. That's considered to be progress. If you get more likes, then you're considered to be a good person. So people become bewildered, and they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't even know how to eat properly. Even we find people, I don't know, in Slovenia, in America at least, you can find people in cities walking down the street eating their meal. Does that happen in Ljubljana? Yeah? What's that? They're on a motorcycle and eating. Very good for your digestion. Try it out. Now, normally, if someone does something like that, they get sick right away. But for them, they're always sick, so they don't notice it. Even it's not even recommended to eat in the car, what to speak of a motorcycle. So people have lost the clue. They don't know that food is important, that good food. Some people do, of course. Then they have to spend a fortune to eat something which is organic, which isn't laced with pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and peoplecides. Because after all, if it's going to kill the insects, it's going to kill the rodents, it's going to kill everything, why won't it kill you also? But then again, it's good business, because if you get sick and you get cancer, then it helps the medical. And medical means big pharmacy, and big pharmacy makes money. So, and big pharmacy has probably a big stake in the agricultural business, the herbicide business, insecticide business, glyphosate, Ready Roundup, whatever it may be. It's the whole world is contaminated with these poisons, and people are getting sick, and the pharmaceutical companies are getting richer. And this is considered to be progress, and the people who are supposed to be protecting us are the ones who are making a profit from killing us. And the people who are supposed to be learned, the scientists, the educators, they're being paid by these mercantile people to lie, to prove that actually black is white, that if the more cigarettes you smoke, the better your lungs become. They've actually done studies like that and proved that the more you smoke, the better your respiratory system is. Breathe in fire in order to strengthening your respiratory system. And lo and behold, they're all hired by the people who are very happy to hear the evidence that proves that you can go and do whatever you want, and there, by the laws of nature, there are no laws of nature, so you don't have to worry about anything. So there's no educated people who are honest and truthful, practically speaking, nowadays. And if they are, they get fired. Anyone who tells the truth is considered a menace to society. And therefore, everything stops you terribly. And for that reason, Prabhupada wanted to create somehow or another, anywhere, some class of people who might learn to be honest and clean so that their brains can become stable. They might understand things properly, even understand the eternality of the self. Our brains are so bewildered that even we hear constantly again and again and again that we're not the body. Even we can understand it intellectually, but then our minds just drag away our intelligence and we're back in the material concept of life. Therefore, Prabhupada understood that if we regulate our lives somehow or another, we come to the program every day, we chant Hare Krishna, we try to do regulated service, we try to fix our minds on Krishna, we try to do something which is sattvic, spiritual, then the result is that we might make some progress in stabilizing our consciousness and come to Krishna consciousness after some time. Other than that, the whole society, it is going down and down and down. The leaders of society becoming more and more bold in telling lies. They couldn't care less if they're telling lies, if some people can detect it. Because 99.9% of the people can't understand what's the truth and what's a lie. And therefore they couldn't care less about someone discovering that they're lying because they can't do anything about it anyhow. And if they speak up, then all the 99% people will say, why are you bothering these people? They're 100% truthful. Although every word that they say is a lie. And even if they discover it's a lie, they can't remember a day later, 5 weeks later, they can't remember they were lied to. And they just blindly follow. So the society has gone down, and it's going further and further down. And this movement is supposed to help raise it a little bit. Of course, right now we're not so weak. Krishna was able to raise Govardhan Hill. We have a hard time raising a brick. So, but this movement is supposed to gather strength who can raise the population so that they, at least, as mentioned before, they come to the human form of life again. They develop the 30 qualities of a human being, and by developing the 30 qualities of a human being, they can actually regulate their occupations. They could have an occupation which would actually not destroy the ecology, not destroy their nervous system, not destroy the community. They could actually have an occupation which would actually be in harmony with the laws of material nature. They could actually get good food and fresh air, and they can actually get peaceful life, which is actually the basis of development of a quality of happiness, a feeling of happiness. So that's possible by the loud chanting of the holy name, and if our society gives people a process by which they can gradually elevate themselves in the chanting. They can gradually understand what's valuable and what's not valuable and focus on the valuable and give up the useless things. Running after technology especially. Technology is not bad when used in Krishna service, but technology for the sake of technology is useless. The idea that everything's getting, the computers are getting faster. Unfortunately, everyone's getting slower. Computer may be very fast, may have a lot of memory, but we can't even remember where we left the computer. Therefore, it's not so valuable for us. Better that we have slow computers and fast brains. Better we have memory and the computer has limited memory. Better we can add 1 plus 5 and get 6 rather than having to rely upon a cell phone to do it for us. If we can remember where we put it or remember how to use it. So that time is coming. The way things are going is it goes down, down, down. Technology will eventually disappear for most people because they won't know how to use it anymore. It'll be too complicated to figure out where to push the button to turn it on. We'll come to the monkey level. We get a cell phone or something like that, and we'll look around, and we'll play with it, pass it. We're trying to eat it. Orange. It looks like an orange. Oh, it's vitamin C. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the only way that can raise us. And if we're raised, we might be able to understand the value of this movement and be able to express the value to others too. Understand how fortunate we are and how we can make others fortunate too. We have no technology, we have no wealth, we have nothing. But we have a philosophy that could actually bring people to a higher and higher level of experience, up to the reality of eternality of themselves and the existence of the Supreme Person. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. He's first. He raises his hand first. Okay. You got it.
These idols you have here, they are not God. You better worship God up there like it's written in the Bible. Thank you.
Good. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Every now and then when I visit my parents and then my father is watching the news and I always say to him, like, did anything change yet? Is it better? And he always replies, well, I'm still waiting for it. And nowadays we can see that even devotees, when they discuss current situation, they say, yeah, soon it's going to be better or like this or like that. But is it really going to be?
Oh, it'll get a lot worse before it gets better. The only time it'll ever get better is when we get better in Krishna consciousness. That's the only better. Otherwise, where is the question of getting better? People are so impious. They have no training. They have no education. They have no direction. How is it possible to get better? They're being directed by rakshasas and demons for teaching them how to get more and more sinful. So how is it possible anything can get better? It's impossible. All you can expect is worse and worse news. And the only possibility of any progress is if we make progress in spreading Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, don't expect anything to get better. Expect it to get 100% worse. Anything else? Confirmed. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.